Now, 6:09 p.m. This is Kim Bria, the co-chair of the Sustainability Advisory Board. On the heck's the date today, August
19.
Thank you. It's going fast. And we will now begin the meeting. And if you could all go around and introduce yourself before we start. In any order.
Okay, I'll start. I'm Terrence Shoemaker, co-chair.
Victoria Meyer, member.
Jerry Gabrielotto, city manager, who will grab Kathy's duties as soon as she finishes whatever she needs. Mm-hmm.
Mary Baumgartner, council liaison.
Okay. I'm trying to get it to stream. It's not working, so I will figure this out, but I will turn over power to you as soon as I'm done with that.
I'm gonna see if I can do something super technical to prop this laptop up. Oh! I love technology. Okay. I think that's worse.
Well, okay. 8.6 on the Richter scale.
Oh my goodness, sorry about that. Okay, I'm sorry I have to tap back and forth. I had this nice big screen a minute ago. Okay, so introductions. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the minutes from our last meeting that were mailed out?
Yes.
Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
None here.
Okay. Does anyone make a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll do that. Make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved from our last meeting in May. Okay. All right, sorry. Come on back, agenda. Here we go. Public comments. I'm gathering we don't have anybody right now. Is everyone here okay with allowing public comment if somebody pops in later?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we can go right into check-ins and updates. And anybody, let's just go around the room. Victoria, you're in California. Anything to update or things you want to share with us?
It was really creepy being in the airports. I was in Portland and then Oakland and then LAX. And honest to God, there are too many people too close to each other. One out of 50 people was not wearing a mask. But it was creepy. So that was the hard part about getting here. It was stressful, just feeling like, okay, the Delta could be the person next to me. Yeah. So California is fine. I really have been a long time since I've seen my sister, and I only have one. So that feels great. And I got to say, I'm really depressed about the information coming out of the UN last Monday, week ago Monday. So I'm trying to concentrate on the little things that make me happy, and I don't know about the big ones.
Yeah.
That's there. I'm checked in. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot going on. That's not all great. Terry, anything you'd like to?
I have pretty much nothing to report. My garden grows well, giving away lots of jalapenos, and life is good. No respect.
Mary, is there anything you'd like to share? Because it's been a while since we had a meeting with everyone on the sustainability front or trends in government.
That's a loaded statement topic.
It's an open topic.
Not really. Other than progressives and young people who want change. I heard there was a action yesterday at the state capitol, the youth movement did some chalk art and showing deaths from pollution, and oh, it was in front of ODOT's offices actually, and they did some creative artwork showing a measure of people who are dying of pollution and making a point about widening freeways, I am guessing. I participated in a climate action yesterday downtown Portland.
There's something to share.
There it is. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Yes. Extinction Rebellion delivered the pink boat that we've been using to block the road various places and act around. We had turned it into a living petition. We had probably 4,000 signatures on it. And we dropped it off in front of City Hall during the City Hall City Council meeting yesterday. And one of our members called in and then took live footage of us dropping the boat off.
That's quite a visual.
It was. It was, you know, I mean, it's, we said, well, at least you can't put it in a drawer and forget about it.
Okay. How big is this boat?
It's a boat. It's it was on a trailer.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea being we need to do something faster than we're doing, basically. And the goals that they've set aren't fast enough. No. So that was our idea. Anyway, I mean, it wasn't my idea. It was someone's idea. So, and one person got arrested. That was their goal.
Thanks. And they succeeded.
They did. It was very non-violent, very calm and civil.
Well, it's good to hear about.
We don't know if it'll make a difference, but we did tell them we wanted them not to approve what Zenith is doing.
Oh, Zenith Energy?
Yes. Yeah. So that doesn't really have anything to do with Westland. So sorry about that. But regional pollution is important to us too.
Yeah.
And oil trains through the gorge is something we don't want. But that's it. That's all I've got.
Come on, you dropped a big pink boat in the middle of somewhere. So that's pretty.
I'm trying to find a picture. Ooh. Oh, wait, here it is. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, though. Kind of. Let's see.
That's big.
Yay.
And there's see City Hall in the background.
That's donut box pink.
Yes, it is. It says no safe harbor on one side and act now on the other.
Yeah, yeah. A good gesture.
Thanks for sharing that with us. See, you did have something. Something big. Jerry, you look like there's something you'd like to share as we go around.
I'll wait for staff updates or whenever that time is.
Okay. In wrapping up check-ins, I attended the Green Transportation Summit Expo this last week in Tacoma. And every time I've gone to it, I'm kind of floored by the progression in private sector and then watching policy catch up. And this time was no exception. We didn't have a conference last year due to COVID. This year they did, where they offered it in person and online. And they definitely followed strict COVID guidelines, and my hands are kind of raw from all the hand sanitizer. I haven't been to a really an in-person event except for, you know, small meetings here. And the big push, there is action being taken nationally. There's a big push for zero emissions in vehicles, like zero emissions, with a very aggressive deadline, and industry has taken note because they can't do it with the tools that we had. And hybrid has taken on a really big stage, and that's been percolating for quite a few years, but electrification is important, and it's not going to get us there in time with just electrification alone. And there's issues with that. You know, there's issues with grid stability, and, you know, and Victoria can tell you all the things that go with it if your car doesn't have the right size charger and infrastructure. So there's a huge infrastructure package that just passed, you know, which includes transportation and broadband, but electric, hybrid, and there is a ton of money coming to take these measures. So I learned that West Coast Electric Fleets, they, even though they are a nonprofit, they work directly with the U.S. Department of Energy. So it was very interesting to be listening to panels with state representatives from Washington and Oregon and Department of Environmental Quality. So I could go on about this stuff, but it's huge. Things are moving fast. And I looked at our climate action goals, and I thought that we had electrifying the whole fleet by 2035, but I don't see that in our numbers. We did say we're electrifying the whole fleet, but if we are able to electrify or zero emission our fleet within 15 years, we could be eligible for some significant tax credits ahead of when you would get them. So instead of waiting for carbon credits, you know, like every year, you could get them up front to help pay for those investments and then give them back over time. So that's significant. The other thing that is not necessarily Westland, but people we're partners with, like our garbage service, West Environmental Services, Westland Wilsonville School District for the buses, there's some significant funding opportunities for large vehicles like electric school buses, garbage trucks, and heavy duty equipment. So I'm hoping we can. I don't know if that's a sustainability board conversation, but it's definitely something we need to be participating in as a city with the people, even if they're not just the city, the people that partner with us, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, anybody that serves us, there's support for making these things happen on a better timeline.
Kathy has left, and I think I'm now the host. We do have someone waiting in the lobby with just a phone number. I don't know if anybody else sees that, but I was going to let that person in.
Let them in.
Hi, this is Jerry. You're on with the Sustainability Advisory Board. Can you hear us?
Hi, this is Charlie. Sorry, I was having a worse time to log in on my phone.
Okay. We were just doing check-ins.
Yeah, well, hello, I'm here. I'm so sorry. I was trying so hard. I'm apparently only on the phone, which is super annoying. I was trying to log in with visual.
That's okay. We're glad you're here. Thank you for being tenacious in joining the meeting, because that's this. I had to undock my computer for the audio to work with WebEx. So
I completely just had like this idea that it would be way easier to log in on my phone, and I'm just like, wow, now I'm really late, stressed out about it. I'm happy to hear you guys though. So I don't know why I didn't try to call earlier. I just was like, maybe WebEx will log on.
Is there so we did introductions. If you'd like to introduce yourself since we're recorded.
Hello, everybody. I am Charlie Carr. I am a resident of Westland and one of the lackluster members of the Westland Sustainability Commission who would like to be more involved and I guess am down for helping out wherever possible.
Great. And then before we move on from the agenda item on our check-ins, is there anything you want, you know, that stood out for you pertaining to sustainability or how you're doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited that there seems to actually have been some forward progress with the bike lanes in Westland. So that seems exciting because that's like one of the main things that got me, you know, started into being interested in the Sustainability Commission is investing in more like pedestrian and bike friendly infrastructure. So I guess that's a plus. And I guess that's everything.
All right. Okay, well, we're glad you're here. And if at some Thank point you. Your camera comes on, super cool. Okay, so that was item number 4. So moving on to item number 5, I think Jerry has an update for us on the leaders in sustainability for the police station, city hall, library, public, and the public works building.
The update is just that I was doing reviews of all of those applications and we'll be sending them to Alex probably tomorrow. I left him a voicemail today letting him know that they'll be arriving in his inbox.
Did you, that's awesome news. Did you have any that you discovered you were able to take up a level when you went through them? Like where it was a regular certification and it got up to silver or silver that got up to gold?
I did not.
Do you, so what are the goals of the ones you're handing in? Do you have like which level each building is at this point?
I think they're all at, you know, the minimum level, and then some are at the, I don't have them in front of me. Some are at the bronze. Let me pull one up real fast. I think ops is just certified, and then others are at least the silver level. Could you? I'm sorry. Yeah, you can.
No, this is good. If you got 4 buildings, that's great.
Jerry, could you please review what the different levels are? And how, I mean, I know. Obviously.
Sure. So there's certification criteria on each application. And to meet a certified level, you need to complete 15 practices, a silver level 35, and a gold 55. And we hit that. Looks like someone else joined us. Sorry, I'm sort of multitasking here. Oh, hey, Charlie, you're on video now. Okay. So the other ones, I just have at silver level. I'm sorry. And the practices, Victoria. There's a few different criteria on which. Well, let me rephrase. There's different groups in which these applications are reviewed. So one's policy and employment engagement, reduce, reuse, recycle, energy, water conservation, stormwater quality, hazardous materials, transportation, DEI, and community engagement.
Yeah, I remember that. I just couldn't remember if it was gold, silver, and bronze, or gold, silver, and something else. Or yeah, it's good. Thank you.
And is everybody familiar with the sustainability at work? Charlie, when you joined, I think we had talked about it, but are you familiar?
Okay. Yes, you sent out an email all about it, right? That was the, I don't have my email right in front of me, but I know that there was an email about it.
Okay.
Just promise us that you're not driving. Because right. I can see the car moving.
And actually, that's also part of my issue is that I had to pick my kids up because they just got back from a week at camp, which, by the way, was really exciting. I didn't think it was going to happen. Hopefully none of us get coronavirus. But I took way longer with traffic than expected. But no, not me driving.
Okay. Jerry, did they mention a time frame on certification? Just kind of an idea.
No, I don't have. I don't have that.
I'm kind of excited for us to be able to brag about it on the city website and be listed on the Clackamas County Leaders in Sustainability page. So that'll be great when that happens. Okay. All right. We've got next item on the agenda, item number 6, Clean Cities and West Coast Electric Fleets proposal. Do you have an update for us on that, Jerry?
I think I sent you and maybe Terry an email that from Lance about that, or I know that Lance had corresponded with you about that program.
He did, and I apologize. I think it might have arrived when okay. I was up there, and I kind of scanned sure. it, but
let me find it real fast. You had connected us with Michael Graham, and then Lance had spoken to Michael Graham some time ago. If you want to give me a second or move on, I can find the email real fast. It might take a minute.
I remember the gist of it saying that he said we were on the right track, and I thought there was an intention to join, but I didn't know if it had happened.
Yeah, he had indicated that it would be something that we allocate for in the next budget cycle, and we'd go at the base membership.
When's the next budget cycle?
2 years.
2 years, and look, to get into that is a pittance of $300. We understood that there's money available for consulting and contracting purposes, and I personally feel that as far as the phenomenal amount of resources we have access to by joining Clean Cities, this should be a done deal tomorrow. I mean, for $300 and to wait 2 years, might as well throw up our hands.
Is this Columbia Willamette Clean Cities Coalition?
The West Coast Electric Fleets.
Okay. I could talk to him about it. I mean, $300 is not a big sum of money, so.
The city is also a member, and they are, they're the same size, of, well, I mean, 25,000 people. I mean, they're pretty much the same size city as we are, and they've, you know, taken those steps to electrify their fleet. And I think when I talked to them at the conference, they were purchasing battery-operated maintenance equipment, you know, like lawnmowers and that kind of thing. That were interchangeable. So it's definitely something that's appropriate for a city for our size, but in the people that I had talked to that were part of the organization, I don't know if you, I mean, do you have somebody on staff that tracks grants with all the different federal and local agencies at the city?
And we don't have somebody on staff that tracks all of those grants.
There is a lot of money coming, and it would be really disappointing to see it pass us by when we find out about it after it's the deadlines are passed.
Yeah, I mean, wait 2 years to even get in on the ground floor of something like that seems unconscionable to me, especially when we can get into something like that so cheaply. Yet the benefits of being part of that organization, access to grants, resources, assistance, and all manner of things.
Well, I'm happy to bring it up with Lance again.
Is Lance driving this bus?
Lance heads our fleet management.
Yeah, so he is driving that bus, huh?
Can you, I don't recall what fleet is under the city. Is it public works? I mean, does the fleet include public works, parks, and the police for Westland? Is that right?
Mm. Yes.
And then Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, they're their own organization then.
Correct.
Okay, thank you for that update. And we look forward to hearing if there's something that can happen before 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Item number 7, establishing a clear communication protocol between SAB and the City Council. And we had last month when we had our meeting scheduled, Terry and I met with Mary and Jerry. And we had a casual conversation because we didn't have enough quorum for a meeting. So I don't know if Mary or Jerry together would like to update everyone and and where we're at with the communication between the city and council.
Well, I can tell you that the last email that I sent to the SAB with all of the updates, I can't remember when that was, but it was sometime in July. That email also got shared with council as to all the things that I've been undertaking, including the applications, research I've done, et cetera. And just so everybody knows, on the council agendas, under mayor and council reports, it does ask each council member to report back from the committees that they serve on or meetings that they attend and things of that nature. And that's been taking place. Councilor, anything to add? I don't know.
Not specifically, other than I think we should continue checking with the CAG and find out what, I mean, you know, all the CAGs, including Sustainability Advisory Board, but about how our process is going to be communication wise. I think we talked about this, Jerry, didn't we, in a meeting where we kind of need to figure out the proper order of, you know, when we're going to set goals with relation to what we find out that the boards are working on, so we can kind of coordinate our efforts. So I mean, we haven't come up with a particular specific goal in mind for SAB. So I think we are continuing to fine tune that, the communication between the council and the CAGs. If you have any ideas or want to talk about how you want it to go, that's, I'd love to hear that.
We had talked previously about the council liaisons reporting back to city council on what transpired in the meetings. Is that something that has been adopted, or is that just also in the works as far as the communication goes?
Well, we've been doing that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's fewer meetings of the CAGs during the summertime, so we haven't had a lot to report, but for instance, after we had this casual conversation meeting at the next council meeting during council and mayor reports, I shared, you know, what we had talked about. So I think it's just kind of to keep going with that and keep improving, you know, the process so that there's a connection between what's happening with in the CAG meetings and then how it gets translated to council.
Great. Anyone else have anything they want to add? Okay. Item number 8, city staff recommendations of which community development codes to review. And I think, Jerry, you were going to check in. I don't know if it was with Chris or someone else on.
Well, I mean, I think last time we had this discussion, I brought up the idea of bringing it to the SAB for a discussion to have here. Is that something that you want to have here? Or, because I mean, when we've talked about how there could be too much, and I just wasn't sure which direction you wanted this to go.
Okay, because I recall when we had talked about it, you were going to check with planning to see which ones that they felt were relevant to the SAB, because the community codes are huge.
Mm-hmm.
That some of the things, like, for instance, we talked about was like, you know, like, and I don't remember if that's a CDC or if it's in permitting, like new houses being built with a extra circuit for charging stations. I know like other cities, some of them are actually asking builders to put EV charging in new houses. I think that might go a little too far because not everybody has the same kind of car, or they may have a hybrid. So, you know, I think minimum here, at least having, you know, enough load in a place set up for charging. That's one example, but you know, there were several that we had talked about that really needed, that were outmoded. But it's a big document.
Right. So I have a proposal for this, because I talked to Darren about Ted Redmond and Pale Blue Dot. And I said, you know, Ted's willing to contribute pro bono time toward Westland helping its sustainability goals. And he had brought up housing immediately. So I could ask Ted to review our CDC and provide some guidance and maybe invest some time pro bono to help us move that part along. Does that sound, what does the SAB think of that?
Is that specific to the codes?
He could, I could talk to him about it. I mean, Ted's background too, just for everybody here, Ted was an architect before he switched to doing sustainability full time. So it is something that I feel like his time and talent could really help us along, and maybe he could advise us on that.
Well, I was concerned because we have people on staff who supposedly are very familiar with the community development codes, and I had suggested in a previous meeting that should the SAB come up with ideas related to sustainability and community development, that we could propose that, such as something that Kim had mentioned, or something related to leaving a certain amount of trees, or something related to new construction having solar panels on the roof. If we suggested something like that, then the people, the staff in the city should know the applicable codes that would be affected. So rather than for us or somebody else from outside, especially, to wade through those codes to begin with, why not do a more focused approach? This needs to be addressed, whatever this is. Okay, what's the applicable code? And that's just, to my mind, one way of addressing it without someone having to just wade through and edit all those documents. That's a thought.
So I guess my question is, are there things within the CDC that the SAB feels like could be addressed and we could use them as a starting point with the staff?
Well, see, that's my point. I don't know what all stuff is in the CDC, but I do have a feeling about certain things that need to be addressed. I don't have a clue where they are in the CDC. Somebody hopefully does in the city.
What are those things?
Well, I just mentioned a couple.
Actually, I have a question then. Like, so Mary, like when council gave us this goal, what was council's, I mean, what was the gist from council of wanting this SAB? Because when we brought our goals forward from last year, it wasn't to go through the whole thing. So what was the suggestion from council in the review, or what was the flavor of it?
Well, I think it was just considered to be something that the SAB would be interested in, mostly, or to check and see. It was kind of a go back to, you know, bring it to the SAB and see. And I don't think there was one specific, I mean, something has emerged that's pretty important and not more important than updating, you know, policy that's just standard that we'll need to have going forward. But the trees and the tree situation after the storm has come up and might, I think, take some attention. But, you know, I think it was that finding out what the SAB wanted to spend time on is the feeling I got.
I'm going to pull this back up unless one of you has it up. I can't remember how many pages it is for the
community. What, seagulls?
Huh?
What are you referring to, Ken?
How many pages are in the community development codes?
Oh, I don't know. A lot.
I'm pulling it up because this is very relevant to our conversation if we're going to get traction on it. Municipal and community development codes. I've looked at it, but usually I'm looking for something particular. Where's the community development code? Come on, Jerry, don't you have a hard copy of this on your desk?
I don't, but I do have it. I do have the two screens, which makes life a whole lot easier.
But I'm missing them.
As we look through it, I mean, no doubt, I'm just clicking forward. There's 89 chapters, and I mean, I'm still not through yet. I mean, some of them are not all relevant to SAB, right? But I guess my question is there a particular section, if you pick it up, that, I mean, that would be something that the SAB would like to advise on? And they have everything, you know, different types of housing, and they go into industrial planned units. I mean, flood management and Tualatin River protection, I don't know that those are things that we've talked about, but I you know, if there were portions of it that were most relevant, I mean, I'm happy to push that forward.
Is there someone on staff? I mean, in the planning department, whether it's Darren or who has a better awareness of areas that are outmoded?
So right now, I know one of the things going on with our code in general is just developing clear and objective standards. And that's where some of the time is being invested related to the code. I mean, when I just sort of page through it, it does feel like a lot of it, if we just focused on buildings, that could be one portion of it. Because I mean, not everything in here is something that would require like an SAB review.
How many sections are in the buildings part? I'm trying to go back to the tab on my little screen.
Sure. Sorry, that one I'd have to click through. Oh, wait. Maybe 10, maybe less than that. I mean, most of them are just concerned single family detached, and there's varying levels of that. It's not a ton.
Right, because prior to that was zoning. I don't think we do not need to touch zoning.
Each chapter doesn't have a ton in it. I mean, when you click through it, like there's not a bunch there.
And also, it, you know, if we did get into housing, there's quite a few here, depending on the type of single family housing, detached, attached. We also had what was it, House Bill? Oh my goodness.
2001 and 2003.
Yes. And we had the committee that was working on that to be in compliance regionally for the city our size. I mean, it would be useful to have their findings relative to this, because that's very recent work, so that we're not duplicating or reinventing something. I mean, that's more on, you know, it's a different aspect, but there have been recent work done on that.
Well, I mean, there's that we could just chip away at, and I can combine that. I mean, the SAVs work with some of that work. I mean, obviously those house bills are going to require more attached housing. So if that was the focus, we could run with that.
Well, and even looking here at chapter 18, neighborhood commercial, I mean, you know, I think one of the barriers, as we talked about earlier with like electric charging, for example, is a lot of office buildings or, you know, places people lease don't have charging infrastructure on the private property. So business centers. I mean, I don't think there's any business center here that has charging on it unless somebody knows different.
So maybe that's just the question I have is, it could we as a group pick charging stations and then just think of ways that it can be applied to the CDC and then push that through? And carve out space in the code and say that, you know, based on our review of the CDC, those are places that, knowing our infrastructure needs to accommodate the electric cars that are going to be part of everyday life, let's pick that and work hard on that facet of the code.
Well, I really think instead of just picking a spot on the CDC to work on, I think we need to decide what is it, what are our goals, which were stated this year, what are our goals for the city related to sustainability? And then find out, okay, specifically in those goals, what are tasks that can be addressed to meet those goals? And then drill down and find out where in the CDC does this apply? And I think we've got goals, we need to set up some tasks, and then where do those apply and how can we implement those? Does that make any sense or no?
Makes sense to me. It seems like the path looks difficult because we don't know where it is. It goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of what are the codes that apply to our goals and how do we find those codes? The goal, the way you've laid it out, makes sense to me.
Well, and also if we do identify those and we do the work, because this is, you know, I mean, this is still a lot of volunteer time here. It's overtime for Jerry. It's extra time for Mary. What are the odds of it getting adopted? Are we doing an exercise in futility, or is there an appetite for this to be adopted at a city level? Because we can do all kinds of awesome things, but if everybody says, well, we don't like that, then we've spun our wheels. So, you know, like, I mean, like, you've got a lot of passionate, intelligent, capable people here that can dig in, and it may help us in recruiting new members for our board if we're able to get items moved forward.
Well, I think since it's identified as a council goal, I mean, it's a council goal for this to move forward.
I have a question. So I'm just kind of thinking about, so there's just the regular work that's going along, and we're kind of addressing, like, we're trying to find a purpose within that right now, but there's also the emergent things that, so right now there's infrastructure funding and there's a high level of interest in specifically in electric car infrastructure, so charging infrastructure. So, and there may not be code specific language for charging infrastructure in our CDC, but I don't think that should hold us back, or maybe that would indicate a place for us to look. So we're letting the current, you know, some funding and interest in an area that's highly potential drive where we're spending our time or attention. What do people think of that?
I think that's a great idea, because some of the feedback I got, like when I was talking to somebody at the department or Department of Environmental Quality, is what's really helping us right now, or potentially helping us, is that we did just adopt those climate action goals update. That's what's going to get outside money and funding into this community. It, not just saying we like this stuff and it's important to us, but having actionable dates and policies in place. So if we have that in there, that language, that's going to help us a lot when those opportunities come along, and particularly for residents too. I mean, this can help people that already have homes, or if they're adding on. I mean, this is not just for businesses and government, but there are, you know, there's rebates and there's funding for citizens as well.
Yeah. If you look at our goal number 7 for 2021, it states, starting in 2021, begin the process of amending City of Westland community development and building codes and regulations to foster energy efficient development patterns, construction, and renovation. So we were just talking about that. Energy efficient development patterns, construction, and renovation. That applies to what Mary was just saying. Mm-hmm. To the point, that is one of our goals, goal number 7. So that's focused. So we could maybe pin down specific areas where energy efficient development patterns, construction, and renovation apply and then find those appropriate goals or codes. And if they don't exist, something needs to be written. It's fun. And there, nobody has to wade through that entire document. The farther I get into it, the more intimidating it is.
Don't we need staff input on this as well, though? I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff, I mean, some of this is tied to permitting. And, our, you know, I mean, these codes are relevant and related to permitting. So, I mean, I don't know that anyone here on the volunteer basis has a ton of time to put research into digging through this to make a meaning, you know, to make this happen in a meaningful amount of time. I still think it could serve us to have somebody that's on staff in this department that's reviewing permits, and it lives and breathes the code, the community development code, every day to help advise us on where we can best serve as a board to help bring recommendations.
So I'll grab that goal that Terry just mentioned and ask staff to, I don't have that. Terry, is that in the, where did you grab that from? The goals from last year? I'm just clicking through things. I'm trying to find it. You're on mute, sorry.
Yeah, that was this year's goals, and Kathy should have them. They should probably be archived on the website, but if you can't find them, I can certainly send you a copy.
I'm sure I've got it somewhere. I'm just clicking through while I'm Googling.
I think we're on the same page. Like, this makes a lot of sense. It's timely, it's needed. And the next question is how, because we're all volunteers passionate about moving the needle forward, and we can take bits and pieces to move it forward, but there's still a lot there.
So moving this forward, what kind of further discussion do you think we should have on it? And should we focus on this as far as which direction we'd like to go? I think we're kind of leaning towards a more focused approach, but how focused do we want to get, and when do we want to pin down those areas?
I think it would help to have a focus, and can't we start with one and work on it? And if something else rears its head and says, no, my gosh, we really have to pay attention to this, maybe we'd have two focus. Okay. Mm-hmm. But why not start with something that's concrete? Like goal number seven.
Excuse me, Victoria.
Sure. Go ahead.
Would it be good for all of us to just read over that one sentence in goal seven? Maybe not now, but look. And maybe make notes about what do we think are energy efficient development patterns in construction and renovation. But that was in our goal. What areas of energy efficient construction and renovation should we look at? I mean, should we individually cogitate that and get back next time and hash it out in greater detail? Have a focus?
I'll tell you what would help me.
We're all volunteers here, and we could spin our wheels a lot, but we want to try to get a rifle approach here.
Because I'm on the phone and away from all of my papers and everything that's posted on my computer, it would really help me to have an email within the next few days to be reminded to do this, because if we wait until we get the minutes from this meeting, it's too late.
I can send the email now.
Okay.
With just this goal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it would be nice if you attach the goals document, 2021 goals.
Yeah. Don't we? We have those in the invitation to this meeting.
To this meeting, I don't think the goals document was there.
I thought okay, I don't know. I thought it was. The size one font on my phone.
I'm pulling up the Oregon Energy Trust. I mean, there's things we can do, and we can put whatever in here, but it really helps if it's relevant to best industry practices. I mean, there's other cities that are definitely farther along in this process, so there's other cities that are behind us. I know some cities, I'm just looking at the Oregon Energy Trust page here, you know, when they're talking about renewable energy, and that's been a barrier for people if they want to put solar on the house. Or implement it, the technology is definitely changing where it, I mean, like Tesla has their solar roofing materials. And I imagine, you know, if we've got progression in that technology, you know, it might not be far off to be able to replace your roof with a solar roof. It still needs to connect to something. So just looking at energy, we've talked about cars, there's solar, you know, I mean, I know it's up to builders of what kind of appliances that they put in, but Victoria, didn't you talk to somebody when we were interviewing people from other cities when we were writing our climate action goals? Didn't you talk to somebody with, was it the city of Milwaukee or the city of Lake Oswego?
I did not. That was
Karen.
Jen Hoffman, I think, talked with the lady from Milwaukee. And I do believe that she sent me an email with those notes. I'll have to look that up.
Not that I'm not willing to go ahead and talk to the city of Lake Oswego and find out if that hasn't been done.
They don't have anybody right now. They're in between. She moved on.
Yeah. Or if that conversation has been lost, we can renew it.
Or we could focus. I mean, we could focus right now. Maybe this might get some traction. We're into August, so we're going to have September, October, November, and then an annual report. If we focus simply on EV charging in the community development codes for new construction or remodeling, that it's, you know, that it's at least, you know, something somewhere between having a circuit for it or putting, you know, putting it in. What does that look like in, you know, because there's other cities doing this. If we just focus on that one thing, I think we'll peripherally pick up other items that would be relevant to those building codes. And if something really pops up that's advancing quicker, we can always include that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Because that alone is a big barrier, whether you're, you know, you might just pay a few $100 if you've already got the circuit there in a place to install your charger, compared to a couple thousand if you have to have an electrician pull it from an awkward place. I mean, is there any other topic that stands out for anyone that would really get some traction right now in updating development codes for housing?
I had mentioned one last time regarding tree removal on lots that are being developed. I know currently on Bland Circle, there's a huge wooded several acre lot that appears to be in the process of being developed right now, and I'm very curious if that is going to be developed using the scorched earth policy, or if they're going to save specimen trees. So that's just a rhetorical question, because I don't know. So that is one area of concern, because, you know, trees relate to water and temperature, energy efficiency and all that. So I'm very concerned about that aspect of community development codes.
So you want to do, collectively, how does it sound to do trees and having at least some setup, or I don't know if infrastructure is the right word, for charging and for solar on new homes and remodels and trees?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a couple of good places to start, personally.
I do too.
And it would really help, Jerry, if we had staff input on that, so that we're not working in a vacuum.
Yeah, you know, if we gave you those two topics, just those two little simple topics, and maybe someone on staff could say, oh yeah, that's covered in this place.
Specifically tree removal on new development lots?
Yes.
And then EV charging, was that the other one?
EV and solar.
A new development.
New development or remodeling.
Or remodeling, yeah.
And it would be relevant remodeling, like not necessarily putting a bathroom on, but if you're adding a garage, you know.
Okay.
And just something on that note to keep the wheels turning. I met a woman that started 4 years ago a business that connects private charging stations for rent, like Airbnb for charging. So if you say, for instance, we're comfortable and you had your charging station in your driveway, you're not using it all day, people can reserve it on the app and pay to park in your driveway to charge. And it's worked well in areas where maybe there was an apartment building that didn't have charging, so they could go to their neighbor's house and charge. So, I mean, those things are happening, and that was happening in California, but, you know, there's a lot of innovations on the private side to help things move us all forward. I thought that was kind of exciting. It would never occurred to me, but you don't need your charging station all day. So those are some examples of, if you put it in, you can help your neighbors if you choose.
Build it and they will come.
Yes.
And Victoria just sent something around recently, and we've bandied this around before regarding community solar. And that could go right along with EV charging and solar collection and new construction. But community solar is really something that the SAV has been looking at, talking about for several years.
Little did I know.
Yeah, we have.
I love the concept.
Oh, it's a great concept. And we're thinking, I mean, look at a big parking lot like the church right across from Safeway at top of Solano, that huge parking lot. What if a community solar installation was put in there? Number one, it would provide solar energy for everyone who invested in that, all the local residents and stuff, who do not have to put solar collectors on their house. Also, just like in the sunny Southland, it provides shade and shelter and protection from the rain, but also it's a great solar collection area. So community solar has a lot of great possibilities if a lot of people don't want to invest privately.
Well, and a lot of people can't if they have apartments and they don't have a place to have their own charger. That's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It is definitely a timely topic, especially when we're talking about House Bill. You know, the House Bill with the housing, and yep, particularly with the development and wanting to have more middle housing along Highway 43. You know, if you're going to build something new and try to get people out of their cars or get them into zero emission vehicles, they need the ability to do it.
And it's an upside to the fact that it's never going to rain again, apparently.
That's right.
My gosh. Isn't that the truth?
Oof.
Oh.
All
right. So are we good then moving forward that, so just so that I, and Charlie, you can chime in anytime, that we're going to move forward with community development codes for charging on buildings and relevant remodels, solar, and tree removal on new development. And Jerry, to check with staff of, you know, where are we at with that, or what codes is that relevant to as well? Yes.
This has been a good conversation for starting with the nebulous and becoming more specific. I really appreciate that.
Yes. Okay. So that covers that city staff recommendation. So we'll hear back on that. Number 9 was the youth-led eco home certification program. And I spoke to, and I can't think of his name, I think it's Alex in Lake Oswego. And I didn't have him join tonight because he was going to speak at the last meeting, and then we didn't have quorum and we lost touch. But I was blown away how quickly it was adopted in Lake Oswego. They've got, they're like their youth advisory board. It started with the mayor of Lake Oswego, and he had invited some kids who were interested, and they took off and they implemented it. And they're, I think they're going live this month. I was like, what? You did what in April and you're going live by August? So they're moving in Lake Oswego. Their mayor is very supportive of sustainability measures. And if you look at our, I have to give you the plug for the sustainability buildings. Not only is the city of Lake Oswego have a lot of buildings, but the mayor also owns Gubank's restaurant. And what's the other one? Is it Baba Kahan? So if you look at the businesses that are certified, he's also on there. I mean, he lives it. And Lake Oswego has a whole lot more sustainable certified businesses on that Clackamas County website. So, but if anyone's interested, I could have them invite them to speak at our next meeting. Because these are teens or early college that are very passionate about environmental issues, and they're certifying homes in Lake Oswego, which is awesome.
I think it's great, and they have the youthful energy to do that. And Kim, do you know if this is tied in any way to their work in school?
Oh my gosh. I was grinning too hard when I was talking to him because he was telling me all the awesome stuff he was working on. And I couldn't get over his age, you know, where he was really engaged. I think if it wasn't, it is now. So yeah. I can't remember all the things he was going after, but it gave me hope for our next generation of leaders.
Well, I personally would like to hear someone speak to that at our next meeting.
Okay, I will extend that invitation.
Yeah.
Plus, it's good timing. School starting again, you know, but that would be great to duplicate here. We don't have to reinvent things. Okay. So, sustainability education series, item number 10. Do you have the list handy, Terry? You're muted.
Sorry, I'm clacking away on my keyboard and I'm muted occasionally, so I won't make noise. Sorry. User headspace. We talked about the topics we talked about were recycling, and I put a slash on that, and composting also this time of year. Weatherization was another one. Water usage was another one. Zero waste around the holiday season was another topic. So those were the 4 or 5 that we had talked about. And recently, I had talked with Jerry. It appears that obviously if we can get this started, September would be the first time when we could have someone. So, Jerry, were you able to talk with Cheryl at the library to get any information?
Yeah, either Cheryl or I could do it. I think there was a little bit of a misunderstanding that it had to be like an official city meeting or something. I don't think it does. To Kim's point earlier, I like Zoom a whole lot better than WebEx. And if it's just a Zoom, facilitating a Zoom call and letting some people in and out of a virtual room, I'm happy to do that if Cheryl can't. I think we were aiming for the third Tuesday of each month. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
we should be able to staff something like that, and that would be fine.
Okay, so for the group, a few of us at our last little gathering talked about that. We did these type of sessions about 3 or 4 years ago. We had them at the library. They were about an hour and a half, hour presentation with chance for questions and answers afterwards. So looking at the subjects I just mentioned, we want to get information out. We don't want to belabor it. We want to make it informational and fun. We want to have time for questions. So as far as the time of the overall session, what do you think? Hour, hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes? I know it's going to depend on what people have to say. And you know, my mantra is any project expands to fit the time allotted to it. So if we limit it to an hour, then things will get done in an hour. Short, sweet, in and out. You limit to an hour and a half, there you go. So
hour.
I like an hour.
We'll come if it's an hour.
Yeah.
But not at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, what about 7 o'clock in the evening, Tuesday evening?
I think it's better.
Do you want evening or lunch? Because some people will jump on calls as their lunchtime.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Being retired for so many years, I have not a clue. Every day Saturday to me, so.
I mean, Charlie, would you jump on a subject you were interested more likely at lunchtime or in the evening?
I feel like lunchtime might be easier, but I also haven't looked at my school schedule that starts in September. So I'm like, well, living in complete bliss for another month, but I'll say noon sounds fine with me. But both of them could be fine for me also.
Yeah. Well,
if it's going to be a call and not at the library, Jeff Merkley just had a meeting that had, I don't know, 800 people came at 4 o'clock.
Hmm.
Well, 300 people end up with questions.
Yeah. Well, the Westland Alliance has been putting on discussion groups the fourth Thursday of every month in the evening from 7 to 8:30, and they've been well attended. And of course, that's on issues related to DEI stuff. But so it hasn't stopped a nice number of people from showing up.
Good. Okay.
So I suggest we pick a time and try it for the first time around and see what happens.
Okay, so that would be September. So second Tuesday?
Third.
Third, you said?
Well, it doesn't matter, I guess. I said third.
Third. All right. So that would be the 21st of September?
Yeah.
All right, so I think we could maybe really quickly go through and just knock this out of when we're going to do these. So the 21st, we could almost still pull off good water use because I don't know how long this drought's going to last, but what would be ideal for that first meeting on the list on the 21st of September?
Well,
weatherization.
Well, weatherization could be like November.
October. Yeah, because at least you still got good weather to go do something about it.
True. Okay, September.
As far as water.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have a question about water use. I just got some kind of statement from a Clackamas Water District saying asking if I would pledge to use 30% less water in the month of September so that the Fall Chinook can pass up the river since the river's so low.
Yep. Let's do it in September.
Yeah.
So it'll be a little late, but it'll still might catch a few people who say, oh my God, right now? Okay, I can do that. I can forward that if you need me to, but their website and information for taking the pledge. You can even get a little sign to put in your yard.
So how does that sound then? So September water, October weatherization, what were the other topics left on there, Terry?
Maybe for September, we could do it the second Tuesday to try to catch more of those things if that was still on the table, but that's just throwing ideas out there.
That's really soon.
Yeah.
How about aspirational goal the second Tuesday? If we can pull it off, and you know, if you're, and I think Terry, you were organizing that connection with the library, and then we can move it to the 21st if we can't do it that soon.
So Jerry said that he could handle it, so it doesn't have to be under the auspices of the library.
Oh, that's right. We could just we could do Zoom. Yeah.
So, well, you want to do second Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right. So water use in September, October weatherization, and then we had recycling, and I put composting in there. Then we had zero waste around Christmas, December. I was thinking, what if we did recycling / zero waste in December, and then something like composting in November?
Yep.
Sounds good.
No, I have a question. Are you talking about the third week of December to talk about zero waste? That's so close to the holidays.
Well, we just mentioned the second Tuesday. So
the second one. Okay.
We could keep it second Tuesday. Is that, I mean?
Yeah, that would work better.
Let's make it second Tuesday. Ta-da. Okay. So September water usage, October weatherization, November composting, December zero waste / recycling.
Okay, and then do we have speakers or presenters lined up, or does that still need to happen?
We do not, and that's the next thing to decide upon is who wants to do what. We can get a hold of Alex Mim for the December recycling. Should ask him right away since he's a big family man right now. Composting, I can contact Stacy Luddington at Clackamas County Sustainability. Who wants to do weatherization? Somebody to talk on weatherization. And Kim, you mentioned South Fork Water Board, or is there somebody at Wes or Clackamas County?
I don't have contacts. There's anybody? Have contacts at either. I mean, that would be great to have South Fork Water Board there. Or who did you get your thing from, Victoria?
Well, I got the email too from Plaquemines County. Do you remember who it was from specifically, Victoria?
No, I'd have to look that up. That was a week ago I got that.
Do you want to pursue that, Victoria?
Yeah. Can I contact you personally if I find it or if I don't?
No. Of course you can.
You got the letter. It's a great lead-in for the phone call. Like, hey, thanks for this letter. I would love it if you could present on this.
Okay. So Victoria is going to check with Clackamas County on the water usage presentation.
Okay.
And weatherization, we haven't... anybody have any ideas of who to contact there? Maybe somebody in the power field, you know, PGE.
PGE. I met some people recently.
You met some people who would be willing to present?
They might be.
Especially if it came from a counselor. They'd be like, wow, we should really be here.
Do you want to use your cachet as a counselor to rope somebody
in? I'm more than happy to.
Mary, throw your weight around.
Okay, great. Okay, so we got water usage. Victoria is going to check with Clackamas County. Weatherization, PGE, Mary is going to check there. I'm going to check on composting. And I can also check with Alex Nim on the waste recycling. And so we should do these toot sweet in case these people don't want to do it. We can go to plan B.
Okay.
Okay.
And the most critical would be to get the next speaker so that so at least we have the September 1 scheduled.
I feel the pressure.
You do.
I feel it.
It's on you, Victoria. Big time.
You've got the letter. That's a warm call.
Yeah.
It's an email. We'll see.
Yeah. You can say,
I'll see what I can do.
I'm reacting to that email the county just sent out. You guys need to get out here and teach us. They'd probably be willing to send somebody out.
Second Tuesday of September.
Okay.
I just hope I can read it on my, I have a very tiny phone and it's about size 1 font. I'll see what I can do. I'll be home by Saturday night. That should be soon enough.
Victoria's okay. 1 font phone, okay.
All right, great.
So be it.
So we have a list and people assigned to getting speakers for our sustainability education series.
Bam, bam, bam.
If you want, I can send out a short email reminder with all these tasks listed here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great. Okay. If we're good with that, let's move on to number 11 with Jerry, sustainability pale blue dot pro bono work. We talked about it a little bit. If you wanted to give us,
I this is just a question for the group. I think I had emailed about Ted previously, but Ted Redmond is a sustainability consultant that I met in Minnesota. He and I ended up just becoming friends, and upon me coming out here, we've stayed in touch. And I think I shared with the SAB the work that he did in Northbrook, Illinois, which I thought was similar demographically to West Lynn. I don't know if anybody had a chance to review it. But Ted, when I was in Minnesota, he did a solar study for us. He did a climate mitigation plan and a climate adaptation plan. He said that he'd be willing to help us with some pro bono work. So I thought I'd throw that out there for the group to consider.
Did he review our updated climate action plan?
I don't know that he has.
Well, I mean, just for a point of reference of where we are. What kind of things was he suggesting to help with?
He really didn't have a suggestion in mind. I mean, I can kick this around internally and probably find him some work that I'd like him to pursue. But I thought I'd throw it out for the group just to see if there was an opinion.
Terry,
you're muted again.
Your lips are moving, Terry.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be polite and avoid listing my typing. Anyway, I would suggest that we give this a little thought, because I would hate for us to just try and cook up something for this person to do rather than actually having something to do.
So the thought, I mentioned this to Darren, our planning manager, and he said if Ted could look at, you know, how the house bills could affect anything that we do in Oregon, or let me rephrase, in Westland related to housing. That could be a starting point. Like I mentioned earlier, Ted's a former architect too, so sort of a jack of a few trades.
I mean, if that's his area of expertise as well, since he's an architect, and he's, especially with that house bill, if he's intrigued by that, wants to take a look at that, and that works with staff, I mean, that's that, you know, all hands on deck.
I don't want to turn down help.
Well, if it's help, I just want to make sure it's something we need help on.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants to spend his time, it would be nice that he's got a specific charge that's directly related to the goals that we're working on.
And if he wants to really dig in because he wants to hang out with you on Zoom, Jerry, you know, and tell you about it and visit, that's fine too.
We probably won't have any Zoom calls. I imagine tomorrow or something, I might just facilitate a call with somebody here, and we'll go from there. I think there's a tremendous opportunity. I mean, he also just ended up being somebody that, even when he wasn't working on stuff for us, someone who I could just call and go, what do you think of this? And how can I, you know, how can we move the needle on it? And he's always been sort of a great advisor to have. So I was thrilled that he expressed an interest.
Okay. We're right at 7:30, Kim.
All right. There's a note on here for sustainability goals for 2021. And the link on this agenda goes back to our goals four that we brought forward to staff. But without going through all of these goals, I think the biggest point right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if we can get the clean cities move forward. Actually,
I just emailed Lance and said, if we don't take it from the public works budget, we can take it from the admin budget. I'm okay with that. So,
okay. Oh, good. Thanks.
Check that off the list. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah. Excellent.
Because looking at the goals here, goal one was bringing three city buildings into leaders in sustainability. Thank you, Jerry, for four. Mm-hmm. Awesome. The biggie here that would be a staff item is the audit.
Audit.
For the buildings. That was the biggie. So we have that baseline energy audit, which is going to help with water and energy use. And I think, Jerry, if I remember right, you got some traction on that.
So a couple things as it relates to staffing and auditing. I complained loud enough and was able to get some things around here fixed, like our lights are now working in a proper way. Our HVAC, I found that there was funding for some of the things here. So we're moving along in terms of the immediate identified things. I think I also sent an email to the group noting that I had talked to somebody at PGE about ways that they could help us to meet our sustainability goals. And there were sort of three categories, resilience, buildings, and fleet. I sent her an email before this meeting today and just asked, you know, hey, let's check in with each other. And I had this meeting tonight. She's on vacation. But I do think that there will be some helpful tools that we could use for that audit. And I can talk to Jeremiah about just making sure it gets done. The other thing that I'd add in terms of staffing is on Monday, we are interviewing for emergency manager. And one of the questions on that has to do with sustainability and resiliency specifically. I'm on that hiring panel and that person will report to me. So it's critical that to me that that person has a background in sustainability and resilience if it's out there and can help us move this stuff forward. Like I mentioned during a council meeting, I think that there's some immediate things that the emergency manager is going to take on. And then once we move on that, like just complying with FEMA and the leftovers from our current tree storm and other things that just need to be updated, I think there's room to take on energy audits and work with Jeremiah on those things. If nothing else, it overlaps with one of the goals that I have, which was we created four teams within the city to take on four big issues, budget, DEI, homelessness, and sort of public buildings and public infrastructure. And, you know, the energy audit is directly related to the budget, so that'll get done. So I think we'll be good.
Ooh.
There was a lot there, so sorry.
That's fantastic. No. So at the next meeting, if you can, this is really helpful because at least we can take these goals and see where we're at on them while we're working on stuff. So if you can give us an update next time where we're at with getting that audit completed, sounds like we've got some traction. And more. Goal three is with the city vehicles being replaced, you know, with the hybrid, which we've talked about. So you just said we're joining West Coast electric fleets, which is great. And then there's the pledge to replace the vehicles with EVs with the, sorry, we're joining clean cities. And if you can get the pledge signed for the West Coast electric fleets, that's another document that's may help us as we're talking about getting grant funding. I mean, like we're doing the thing, but it's nice to document that we're doing the thing. Goal four. Continuing to expand our sustainability education series, check. We just did that. Goal five, continue the development of safe pedestrian bike connections and other transit infrastructure. I don't know if there's something you want to add to that, Jerry, because we just adopted the Willamette Falls Drive plan that has ped and bike improvements on it.
I don't have anything to add, but you're exactly right.
Okay. I mean, Highway 43's got it. We just need money for that. And then between now and 2040, we're talking about greenhouse gas emissions. If you can give us, I don't know if we're going to have an update by the next meeting because we really need that audit to base on these reductions.
Yep.
It's hard to say we reduce something if you don't know what you have.
You know, when maybe this is where Ted could help us. So when I was in Minnesota, he was able to get all of our total emissions or take a good stab at it. And I'll talk to him about that.
Okay. Goal eight was beginning the process of amending City of Westland community development and building codes and regulations to foster energy efficient development patterns, construction and renovation, which we just talked about. Goal eight is to encourage and support community solar projects by working with appropriate organizations. I think we can wrap that in as we're talking about that in our education series and the work that we're going to do on the the community development codes. And goal nine is amending the approval process applied to new developments to prevent the loss of wetlands, streams and riparian corridors. So that's our goals from last year. And I don't know if there's any updates or if there's any changes to that.
Well, no, this was the document that was submitted to the city, so we really can't change it. We'll start working on our new goals for 2022 very soon. And some of these may carry over.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Pretty excited about, is everyone excited about the progress that we've made?
Yeah.
Yes.
Getting the feet wet here is good.
Jerry, I'm really grateful for the work that you've been doing. Feels good.
Excellent.
Actually, I love all of you.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry. And thank you, Mary. I mean, you both got passion on the subject, and it's great to expand the connections we have to get the work done.
Yeah, appreciate your work.
So much.
Same.
Okay, so we are just a squeak past 7:30. Is there anything, I don't know if we have any callers that have joined, but is there anything anyone would like to add before we close?
Good to me.
Just thanks to all of you for volunteering.
Great fun. Keeps us out of trouble for an hour and a half.
Thanks for putting up with me being late. I will see y'all soon.
Okay,
I'd like to hear a camp song, Charlie, next time.
Oh my God. They actually were arguing in the car, which is why I had to like get it off for a minute because apparently at camp, they both bought the same CD of camp songs. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And then in the meantime, I'm also thinking, I'm like, do we even have a CD player anymore? So
I've got one for you. I'm here for you.
I'm pretty sure we have one, but like, I was just like, man, it is loud in this car and I'm just trying to listen.
Well, thank you, all of you.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, and put the word out. We need two more people to join our board. So you're two open spots. Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, okay. Y'all.
This meeting's adjourned.
Bye. See you all later.
Bye.